This is the Benchwarmers Trivia Podcast. We have assembled the world's finest sports and trivia dorks to prove once and for all that we are just as bad at this as we were at sports.
Hello, listeners. This is the Benchwarmers Trivia Podcast, sports trivia for those of us who rode the pine, and welcome to episode 250, baby! Woo! I am your host, Marcus, and today's game will be pitting the Benchwarmer team of Scott and Mason versus Benchwarmer Eric Walling and returning player, you know him, you love him, you hear him a lot because he's available and we appreciate that, Scott Hyland. Scott, how have you been? Let us know anything else you'd like to share.
I mean, the best ability is availability, so.
That is a fact.
We are not load managing over here. No, just getting ready for summer. Getting ready for someone to turn the heat on here in Texas. It'll be 110 in about a week. So enjoying the spring weather. Spring weather.
Absolutely. Still waiting for that up here in Washington, but we'll get it at some point, I think. Eric, how are you doing? And what is Jordan Scott's team name?
Good. My driveway still isn't fixed for those of you who have listened to a recently released episode. Still waiting on review by the architectural committee in the neighborhood. So yes. Yeah, it's as bad as it sounds. We had a little bit of spring weather here yesterday. They were selling out all of the breads and meats in the world, and then it ended up just raining. So it was good that we dodged like all the hail bullets, but I could really use a new roof while those guys are working on my house. So bring some hail. Speaking of hail and availability, we decided to, it's baseball season. And just like a true Astro, Phil Maton went out yesterday and pulled a real dick move and hit three Rangers in a row, including the hottest hitter on the team, Josh Jung, breaking his wrist and knocking him out for at least 6 weeks. So I'm not happy. Houston still sucks. And our team name today is going to be the Young and the Restless, J-U-N-G, Restless.
Right. Yeah, I was going to say for the people that aren't looking at this screen right now. Young, spelled J-U-N-G. Yeah, you won a championship this year, and I wish him a speedy recovery, but I don't feel bad for you.
It's okay. I figured as much.
Yeah, not at all. All right, Scott and Mason, why don't you guys let me know how you are doing, and then tell me your team name. I wonder who's going to go first.
Yeah, it's going to be me. It's always. No. What? I know we're still 250 episodes in. It still hasn't changed. So, fine. probably won't ever change. Yeah, I'm doing okay. Even though time doesn't really matter at this point. But it's the middle of spring break for school. So, I don't have to worry about that part right now. But, yeah, everything's going okay. We're just surviving a day at a time.
Just keeping a tiny human alive. It's
Yeah, no big deal.
Yeah, no biggie. Just spring break with a fresh human. I don't know if that's the phrase that I was looking for.
I mean, I assume he has good style.
Sure. For whatever fashion preemie clothes come in. Yes.
Yes. All right, Scott, how are you? And what's your Mason Steam name?
I'm good. I can't top that. No, but we're good. So Mason's on the team. I didn't feel like thinking either. So our team name for this game will be No Name Crew.
All right. So we have the Young and the Restless and the No Name Crew. And with that, let's kick it over to Dan for the rules.
The game will consist of four quarters of play, each with different trivia style. The styles of quarters 1 through 3 will change from show to show, and I will explain them as we go along. Like any good sporting event, we will have a halftime show after the second quarter with entertainment questions. And in the fourth quarter, our teams will wager from their points accumulated to see who are today's clipboard captains to be honored like the true benchwarmers they are. All right, let's get this game underway.
All right, and today's first quarter is going to be pre and post game.
Pre and post game. For this quarter, there will be four before and after style questions. For example, if I said, What all-time leader in receptions for the Indianapolis Colts was a Notre Dame safety drafted by the Minnesota Vikings? The answer would be Marvin Harrison Smith. Each question is worth 25 points.
Before we start, it's draft season. And so, of course, these pre and post games are all draft related in that. And I'll just give you guys a hint now so you don't have to span the annals of time trying to figure these out. All of these players in each pre and post game are from the same draft. All right, here we go. Question one. Who is a third round selection in 2004? A two-time Pro Bowler that spent his entire career for one NFC East team and was a first-round pick in that same draft. Despite never making a Pro Bowl, he did have two 1,000-yard receiving seasons and was a solid player for two AFC teams.
Marcus, we'll check in.
Okay, No Name Crew has checked in. Young and the Restless, you got about a minute to talk it out.
I don't know that we've got much on this one.
No.
I'm just struggling with the first half. I feel like we could probably come up with a receiver from if we could get the first half, but
right.
I don't even know what position to think about. And so I'm just kind of drawing a blank. Let's see. You want to just go with Lucky Jermichael Clayton?
Sure.
Okay. Check that in. Jermichael Clayton.
Okay, and what did No Name Crew have?
Scott got the back half pretty quickly. He got to Lee Evans very quickly. And so then we started thinking about just people with the last name of Lee, and nothing really came there. And so when I was cycling through all the NFC's teams, when I landed on Washington, I thought of a guy that probably only played for one team. I don't remember him going anywhere else. So we checked in with Chris Cooley Evans.
And one team is receiving points. The correct answer is Chris Cooley Evans. You know, Lee Evans, he had those couple of 1,000-yard receiving seasons with the Bills. And then he played that one season with the Ravens, was hurt, dropped that pass in the Super Bowl, and that was it. And yeah, Chris Cooley was fine. He was, like, solid.
Yeah.
Two-time Pro Bowler was kind of surprising. And, like, that was one of the things is, like, I felt like I could have put more in there, but I don't know how knowing how many 800 receiving yard seasons is gonna was gonna help. It didn't seem like quite the descriptor. So, all right, let's move on to question two. Who was a first round selection in 1994 who had three straight 1,000 yard receiving seasons, although he never made the Pro Bowl, ranks third all time in catches and yards for the team that drafted him, and was a three-time Pro Bowler that went undrafted in that same year. He led the way for a 1,000-yard rusher in nine consecutive seasons.
Marcus, we're going to go ahead and check in.
The Young and the Restless has checked in. No Name Crew, I'm going to need an answer here. Nice and quick-like.
Yeah, figured as much. There's just so much to unpack here.
So,
yeah, I don't know.
The original on Lorenzo Neal, but nothing seems to work for that. So I don't know if it even is him.
Right. Yeah, we don't really have anything. It's like mid-90s receiver, right? So this guy was drafted in 94. So you're thinking like 94 through like 96, he had 1,000 yards. That's right before like the receiver like resurgence, like Moss, Owens. So it's kind of a weird time for wide receivers. This is like the Andre Rison, like Yancey Thick Ben era.
All right. I need an answer.
I don't have anything.
I don't either. Who was on Jacksonville at the time? Keenan McCardell.
Okay. You know any fullbacks start with Dell?
Dell Curry.
There you go. Clearly drafted in 94 as a fullback. Yeah, famed fullback Dell Curry. Is that what we're going with?
Yeah, we got nothing else. We're gonna check in Keenan McCardell Curry, which is a great future pre and post game if anyone wants to use it.
No one was on the Jaguars in 94. They didn't become a team until 95.
Well, I admit, like...
Also that. Okay, the Young and the Restless, what did you guys have?
We were trying to name fullbacks from the era, and I had two connections to this question. One was Tony Richardson, former Kansas City Chiefs great. And then working backwards, I wrote a question about a guy who had some failed MMA career. And it was a little while back, and it seemed to jive with the time. for a really bad team that hasn't had a bunch of good receivers. So we checked in with Johnny Moore, Tony Richardson.
One team is receiving points. The correct answer, and you got to really think of this as a Yinzer. I know I stretched that a little bit. When you got to think about like a Yinzer saying this, Johnny Moore, Tony Richardson. So that is correct. Johnny Morton, one of my favorite Lions of all time. I loved those mid-90s teams. And yeah, Tony Richardson, you think about like the fullbacks, like the, you know, the ones who are considered the greats. And for me to stumble on Tony Richardson and him having led the way for 9 consecutive 1,000-yard rushers, that's pretty awesome. So let's move on to question 3. Who is a second round selection in 2012, has spent his whole career on one team, is a one-time All-Pro and one-time Pro Bowler, maybe due to more prominent names at his position, and was a first round guard selected in that same year. He went to 6 Pro Bowls and was named an All-Pro 3 times for an AFC team.
All right, we're going to check in.
Hey, No Name Crew has checked in. The Young and the Restless, you have a couple minutes to talk it out.
Oh, man. Marvin Harrison Smith should be.
Yeah.
Go with that one?
All right. I've heard that before, so.
Okay. Marvin Harrison Smith.
this is No Name Crew. What did you guys have?
So Scott started threw out a name. He threw out Marshall Yonda, and for some reason that led me to what I think is the actual one because it's been the same division. So we're trying to think of guards that make sense. And then we landed on David DeCastro. And as soon as I typed that, we both automatically came up with the first half because he's been there since 2012. I would know because I watch my team play against him twice a year. So we checked in with Levante David DeCastro.
One team is receiving points. It is Levante David DeCastro. Levante David has unfortunately been in the same conference as Luke Kuechly and Bobby Wagner. And those guys ate up pretty much all those Pro Bowls and all those All-Pros, even though Levante David is every bit as good as those guys, every bit as productive as those guys. And yeah, David DeCastro, Bellevue, Washington legend. All right, let's hit this last one in pre and post game. Who is a fifth round selection in 2000, is in his one team's Hall of Fame, and was a one-time Pro Bowler while having a stretch of 4 straight seasons with double-digit sacks, and was a third-round pick in the same year, had 3 different stints with the team that drafted him, was a one-time Pro Bowler, and had 3 1,000-yard receiving seasons. All right, I'm just gonna start doing this. No Name Crew, I need your answer right now.
What? We don't have one.
We have maybe the second half, so I don't even.
Okay, so you're tapping. Is that? I guess.
I think we have to.
I don't have anything for the first half. So,
okay, and the Young and the Restless.
You want to go with the last one?
I don't even understand what you wrote.
Okay, Dante Hall Lavernius Coles. Check it in.
Neither team is getting points. The correct answer is Kabir Gabaha Biamila Vernius Coles.
It works. But
love it.
Oh, boy. 74.5 career sacks for the Packers. Very good player. Hall of very good. But yeah, one-time Pro Bowler. KGB. After the first quarter, we have a score of No Name Crew with 50 and Young and the Restless with 25. Today's second quarter will be Curriculum Vitae.
Curriculum Vitae. In this round, the host will list the teams and years for which a player spent time and may also give a few fun facts about each player. Each question is worth 20 points.
Okay, so after that, I'm scared, but this is the first time. It's been so long since I've written a game that this is my first crack at Curriculum Vitae. So don't hate me, but here we go. Number 1, Detroit Shock, 2004 to 2007. Seattle Storm, 2008 to 2011. Chicago Sky, 2012 to 2013. New York Liberty, 2014 to 2016. 3-time WNBA champion, 2-time WNBA MVP.
We're going to check in.
The Young and the Restless have checked in. No Name Crew, you guys have like 20 seconds.
Wow, goes by so fast.
I'm trying to think of 2-time WNBA MVPs. That's the way I'm going about it.
Yeah, and obviously eliminating the ones we know it's not, which is all of them that I can think of.
Right, that's the thing. I'm struggling to think of anybody that would fit this.
Yeah. Like, Swin Cash immediately came to my mind, but I don't think the stints on the teams. Well,
I didn't think she won 2 MVPs.
I don't know if she won two.
I feel like that's a lot. But there's not that, I mean, there obviously can't be that many, but that seems kind of off to me. But it very well could be, but I didn't think she won 2 MVPs.
Ugh, okay, hey, guys, I screwed this up, so I'm going to give the other team a chance. It is all-star MVPs, not regular season MVPs. I screwed that up. So if that's going to change your answer, then feel free to change it.
Now, do you feel better about Swin Cash, Mason?
Maybe a little bit, but...
Because, I mean, all-star MVPs, it's like, whatever. Anyone can kind of go off and get that.
Okay.
I just don't know too many people that were on the Shock from 04. I know Swin Cash was on the Shock back then. Don't know if she played till 2016. I don't know. That's a long career in the WNBA.
I'm fine with it. That's the only thing you had. I'm okay with that.
I've got nothing else. So we'll check in with Swin Cash.
Okay, and the Young and the Restless, what did you guys have?
We wanted it from the Seattle angle more than anything. And the name that we could think of that wasn't Sue Bird was Lauren Jackson. So we checked in with Lauren Jackson.
One team is receiving points. The correct answer is Swin Cash. Yeah, that's on me, guys.
Lauren Jackson was on the Storm more than 3 seasons. That's why I eliminated her in my mind.
I probably wasn't getting there. Scott, I don't know if my Scott was. Yeah, no, he's in agreement. I just was like, okay, it's not Sue Bird. and it's not Cheryl Swoops. Because there's no Houston in there. So.
Tina Charles.
There's Tina Charles.
Yeah, I think Cheryl Swoops retired before the Chicago Sky were even a thing.
All right. Question 2. Seattle Sonics, 1989 to 1993. Philadelphia 76ers, 1993 to 1995. Boston Celtics, 1995 to 2000. Detroit Pistons, 2000 to 2002. Boston Celtics 2004. NBA All-Star in 1995 and the NBA's Most Improved Player in 1995.
Sorry. That's not to read like the early 2000s Celtics. It's the early 2000s Celtics is what I meant. Totally the different connotation.
Irish basketball team?
Yeah.
Scalabrine.
That's incredible.
Scalabrine's been with the Celtics and the Celtics.
Exactly.
I was literally writing the same thing
and couldn't spell.
Yeah. All right, cool. Let's do that. Check that in.
We'll check it.
The Young and the Restless have checked in. No Name Crew, you can talk it out.
Most Improved Player and an All-Star in 95 from the Celtics. The Celtics were awful in the mid-90s. So to get an All-Star, this guy must have been having a really, really good season.
So was there some trade between – you're saying is there a trade somewhere that maybe the 76ers and Celtics that we can piece together? Or maybe by that point it would probably just been a free agent.
Yeah, I was thinking free agent, right? They've been in the league for, what, six – I mean, since 89 at that point.
Yeah,
I think there was a Sonic Sixers trade, right? The Hersey Hawkins trade. Which makes sense to go from Seattle to Philadelphia, right? Dana Barros came into my mind, but because he's Sixers and Celtics, but I don't remember him playing on the Pistons at all.
Was there some sort of trade there, Celtics to Pistons, that you can think of in 2000?
No. This is the Pistons were starting to get really good and gear up for the Wallace years.
I'm gonna need an answer.
Damn.
Do you want to go with Dana Barros? Because at least if it's two teams and maybe... I mean, I don't have anything, so I'm okay with whatever.
It doesn't feel right, but I don't have anything else.
Okay, that's up to you. So, whatever you want to do.
Yeah, we'll check in with Dana Barros.
Okay, and the Young and the Restless, what did you guys have?
It felt right to us that we also checked in with Dana Barros.
Both teams are receiving points. The correct answer is Dana Barros. This round is just a quick look into Young Marcus and his taste in NBA players. So, yes, there were trades. So, Dana Barros was traded from the Sonics to Charlotte in exchange for Kendall Gill. Mm-hmm. And then Charlotte turned right around and traded Barros, Sidney Green, and their 93 draft choice to the 76ers for Hersey Hawkins. So that was in 2 days. Deal? He was traded twice. And yeah, we also, and we all know from the first, one of the first times I ever hosted, rapper Dana Barros.
Yes. People's best kept secret, Dana Barros.
Yeah, exactly. All right, let's move on to question three. San Francisco Giants, 1991 to 1995. St. Louis Cardinals, 96 to 98. Texas Rangers, 98 to 2000. Chicago White Sox, 2001 and 2002. Milwaukee Brewers, 2003. Colorado Rockies, 2004. Arizona Diamondbacks, 2005. Nationals and Reds in 2006. Blue Jays, Red Sox in 2007. He was an All-Star in 1997. Was portrayed in the 2002 film The Rookie, and appeared in Moneyball as an actor. And while you guys are thinking, Dana Barros in that All-Star season, 20.6 points per game, 7.5 assists, and he shot 46% from three.
Underrated player.
And tiny, so I was like, look, it's me.
You know, there is a resemblance, now that you mention it.
Me and Dana Barros. I mean, I was born in 88, so, you know, maybe he could have been my dad.
That's no, not, you, like, and your, like you and your stepdad. Actual dad have too my stepdad. Much of a resemblance.
Maybe I wanted Dana Barros to be my stepdad.
We're going to check in.
Okay. The Young and the Restless have checked in. No Name Crew, you can talk it out.
Yeah, that is the way to get it, right? All-Star 97.
Either that or if you know anything about the movie The Rookie.
I mean, I watched it. It's based off of Jim Morris from Tampa. But I'm guessing this person, they just played against them in the movie, maybe.
I don't think that's going to be very helpful.
No. So an All-Star with the Cardinals in 97. So Ray Lankford... But he didn't play on all these teams.
I don't want to pay Josh $5 right now.
Who else is on? Well, 97, that's all. That's the year they traded for McGuire. So I'm trying to think of who was on that roster for the Cardinals. They weren't that good up until that year. They were competitive and they traded for McGuire. Pitcher, position player, doesn't, you know, I don't know.
You got 30 seconds.
Cardinals and then Rangers. Appeared in Moneyball as an actor. That's really interesting.
So, I mean, did this person move around because they were like a utility person?
I would think either utility or like a relief pitcher. I mean, relievers tend to move around a lot. Initially, I was like, oh, this is Royce Clayton, Cardinals and Rangers. Done.
Did he play for like 12,000 other teams?
I don't know. I All-Star.
Would he have been, in The Rookie and possibly in Moneyball? I mean, I don't know. I'm just...
No clue on this. I could get it, I think, with more time, but...
All right, I need an answer.
You pick. I literally have nothing. This round has been absolutely nothing for me, so you do all what right, you gotta
well,
do.
Sure. Brad Fulmer.
Okay, and the Young and the Restless, what did you guys have?
What if I told you that the day that this guy got traded was the day after the Rangers signed a 10-year, $252 million contract with Alex Rodriguez to become their shortstop. He was their shortstop, and it was Royce Clayton. So that's what we checked in with.
One team is getting points. The correct answer, Scott, you're all over it. I was like, settle. Like,
don't look at the screen.
Yes, it is Royce Clayton.
I still remember playing until 07.
Yeah, he was hanging on for dear life, because I don't remember that either. And like, since this was my first time doing it, I didn't know if we had liberties to like cut it off, because I was like, I don't know how that's going to help anyone. But if it did, I would feel bad if I left something out and people were like, oh, I remember when he played for this team. So that's why he had so many teams. And yeah, so he was portrayed in the film The Rookie because he struck out Clayton in his major league debut in 1999. And apparently he was an advisor on the movie. And Royce Clayton portrayed Miguel Tejada in Moneyball.
That's so interesting. Like,
hey, they're not even the same complexion.
Right. Not only that, but you want to play a guy that's your contemporary but was way better than you? Okay.
Right. So weird. When I read living that, I was just like...
Living out his dream.
Yeah. I was like, that's bizarre. So, all right. Last one in Curriculum Vitae. Houston Oilers, 1988 to 1996. Washington Redacted, 97 to 98. Kansas City Chiefs, 1999. Minnesota Vikings, 2000. Pro Bowler and All-Pro in both 1991 and 1997. Current head coach at Texas Southern. Two-time interceptions leader.
I was going to say he appeared in Moneyball as an actor.
No.
Miguel Tejada.
Jason Giambi.
It was too fun to leave out.
We're going to check in.
Okay. The Young and the Restless have checked in. No Name Crew. I need an answer pretty much nowish.
Yep. I'm just trying to come up with a Southern last name that sounds like they play in the secondary, because that's what this has come down to for us. So, like, I'm like, Milton, like, you know. That's like Tavares Milton, but I don't like that enough.
Is that a real person, or you just made that up on the spot?
The name of your second kid, Mason.
Yeah, I'll write it down. Tavares Milton Giot. There it is. TM.
TM, dude.
TM.
Yes. We love TM.
TM and PM. I mean, it just works. I don't know. We'll just throw out a lucky last name. Coleman. You like that?
Okay. Sure. Hey. Generic, no?
Yeah. We're going to check in with Coleman.
Okay. And the Young and the Restless, what did you guys come up with?
He shares a name with a dude who is a significantly different size and shape and complexion of human. And I don't remember which one's which, so I'm just going to check in with Dishman.
One team is receiving points. There are two of them.
Okay.
There are two Chris Dishmans. However, this is Chris with no H. Chris Dishman is the correct answer. To go six seasons without between Pro Bowls and All Pros is wild. But yeah, I loved Chris Dishman. He was one of my favorite DBs as a kid. And I didn't know this until I was writing this earlier, that he took the job at Texas Southern. So yeah, Chris Dishman, good pull.
Chris with no H Dishman. Oh, wow. He looks like Gilbert Arenas.
Look at Chris with an H and tell me if he looks like Gilbert Arenas.
Okay, yeah, all right. No, I looked this up and it pulled up a photo and I'm like, this guy looks just like Gilbert Arenas.
Oh, and I remember him in those Oilers uniforms. Oh, beautiful. Beautiful aesthetic. Beautiful, beautiful man, Chris Dishman. And, well, one Chris Dishman.
We won't say which one.
All right. After.
We have two hashtags now.
Hashtag Chris Dishman and hashtag Chris Dishman. Yes. Double Dishman. All right. After the second quarter, we are all tied up at 100. And that brings us to halftime.
It is now time for the halftime show. There will be three entertainment questions. Each question is worth 25 points.
In this halftime round, put your nerd caps on. This is going to be very simple. I'm going to give you three actors, and these three actors have played the same comic book character, and I just need you to tell me the character.
All right, I'm going to do something. I don't know. I'll be back. I'll be back in 20 minutes.
I need you for this.
What do you need me for? What do you need me for right now?
Mason.
You do not need me.
You got this.
I don't. All right. I'm going to leave. I don't have it.
Again, this is you can't see, but Walling actually put on a nerd hat, so I'm scared.
All right, here we go. Question one. Anne Hathaway, Halle Berry, Michelle Pfeiffer.
Second.
I saw that one coming. So, No Name Crew has checked in. The Young and the Restless, you can also check in.
Go for it.
We'll check in. Catwoman.
And No Name Crew, what did you guys have?
It is Catwoman. I remember that. Awful Halle Berry movie.
It's much better on mute. Both teams are receiving points. The correct answer is Catwoman. And yes, by the way, there was an accompanying video game.
Yes, there was.
And it is maybe the worst game I've ever laid my eyes upon. Okay. And by the way, just to clarify, I said it incorrectly. Because I needed to say this to be specific. These are all actors that have been cast as this person. So keep that in mind. All right. Anyways, question two. Joseph Quinn, Michael B. Jordan, Chris Evans.
We're checked in.
No Name Crew has checked in.
The Young and the Restless, you can talk it out.
He was denied a bank loan today. Can we check in with the Human Torch, or do we need to be more
specific? That's acceptable. Okay. And No Name Crew, what did you check in with?
Same. Human Torch.
Both teams are receiving points. The correct answer is Johnny Storm, a.k.a. the Human Torch, because that's the one time Marvel was just like, hey, don't just ignore that guy's Captain America now. Just shut up. And yeah, Joseph Quinn, who was what's his face on Stranger Things? Gosh, I don't even remember his character's name, because it was 3 years ago that I watched that show.
3 years ago since they released an episode.
Yeah. But yes, Joseph Quinn just confirmed as Johnny Storm in the next Fantastic Four film that'll actually be in the MCU. Okay, and question number three: Thomas Jane, Ray Stevenson, John Bernthal.
Checked in.
No Name Crew has checked in. The Young and the Restless, you may talk it out.
I think Thomas Jane has only played Two-Face and... right, did he play Two-Face? Yeah, Two-Face and Punisher. And John Bernthal definitely played Punisher. So if you're good with that, I'm good with that.
Let's see.
All right. Check in Punisher.
And No Name Crew, what did you guys have?
Same. When I think of Thomas Jane, the first thing that pops in my head is not... the sweetest thing with Cameron Diaz, it's the Punisher.
And both teams are receiving points. The correct answer is the Punisher. And to be honest, Thomas Jane is my favorite of these three guys that played it. I thought I like John Bernthal a lot, and I guess I wanted more from it, but I think that Thomas Jane Punisher movie is perfectly fine, and I think people were not ready for that dark. You know, there's just like a scene where he's getting ready to blow his brains out. And like, it's just like, it was very dark. And I don't think at that time in whatever, 2004, they were ready for that.
I was going to say, I think that if that came out, you know, 10 years after,
it would have hit. Yeah, for sure. And Ray Stevenson, rest in peace. Yeah. So great job, guys. I had every faith in you that you were going to crush that.
I was on mute the whole halftime. I don't think anyone noticed.
Just saying. Well, Scott was just on a rampage there. I mean, I kind of figured that was gonna play pretty easy.
I knew the first one. That was it.
Well, you good. Know the first See? One from Michelle Pfeiffer?
No, it was from Halle Berry, but sure.
Oh man. All right. After halftime, we have a score of No Name Crew with 175 and The Young and the Restless with 175. And that brings us to the third quarter. And your third quarter will be The Missing Link.
The Missing Link. This quarter will consist of five questions with theme-linked answers. The teams will attempt to answer the questions and guess the theme. Each question is worth 20 points. If a team checks in first via chat to the host with the correct theme before the fifth question, they will earn 100 points. The other team can still earn 50 points with the correct theme guess. If neither team has checked in with the correct theme before the fifth question, each team can earn 50 points with the correct answer to the theme after the fifth question.
All right. Question one in The Missing Link. This man was an all-star in 1978 for the Boston Red Sox, and after concluding his playing career, spent 33 years as their color commentator for televised games until his death in 2021.
I'll check in.
Okay. The Young and the Restless has checked in. No Name Crew, you have the full time to talk it out.
Wait.
How much do you remember of the 1978 All-Star game?
Hey, I could tell you people that were playing around that time for the Red Sox in 1978, but like,
Well, not only that, but every person I'm thinking of made more than one All-Star appearance. People that I'm thinking of.
This guy was a one-time All-Star, and then he did color commentary for 33 years, and then died.
I'm thinking there's other things in there in his life, but yeah.
Did nothing else in his entire family, life.
No family, nothing. That's what this implies. Okay. Do you know anyone that fits that description?
He rolled out of bed. He walked straight to Fenway. Yeah. And then as soon as he was done, he walked straight home.
He walked straight out of Fenway and never came back. And that was the end of his life.
Yeah, every guy I can think of that would have been on the team at the time would have had more than one All-Star.
Right, like Tony Armas.
Great name.
Yeah.
Like Jim Rice.
Jim Rice. Like that.
Yeah. And I don't know that I see Jim Rice doing color commentary.
Dwight Evans. He's been more than...
He's got more than one All-Star game, right?
Yeah. Or, not Yastrzemski. Who's obviously, the other outfielder? Yeah, they have another guy. But... Who's the other? There's another
Fred Lynn. Fred Lynn.
Yeah, he's had more than one.
Yeah.
Did you guys say Anadarmus?
We did not.
Red Sox legend Anadarmus.
Write that down.
I just don't want her to have only done three things in her life, and these be the three things. So I'm hoping it's not her.
Act, color commentator,
and Sox. And die. Go, yeah. Die. Yeah, I'm just trying to think of other guys that... Who's that guy that... Oh, man. Talk about him and there's something about Mary.
You're asking Tony, me to answer Tony a movie Canigliaro. Question?
No, it's Tony Canigliaro. That's the name.
All right, you guys got a minute.
I don't think you want to... I don't think anyone wants to hear us ramble for another minute.
All right, we need to do the exact opposite of what we did with the Chris Dishman question and pick a non-Southern, non-Black name. So this needs
maybe
to be...
Maybe a Northeastern kind of name.
Caucasian last name. Yeah. How about Anderson?
Okay.
That could get generic enough name. Both genders. Yeah. Like
different spellings of Anderson. Different spellings of Anderson, right?
E-N-O-N. Yeah, exactly. Yep. Yeah. All right. Yeah. We're going to check in with Anderson.
Yeah, the Young and the Restless. What did you guys have? Sorry, that whole diatribe threw me off.
We checked in with Jerry Remy.
One team is receiving points. The correct answer is Jerry Remy. And yes,
pay Josh Jerry, again.
Yeah, you can. You can pay him.
I don't want to.
You can pay him $5. You know, when I wrote this question, I assumed there was going to be an old here that knew about baseball or Walling. So, and lo and behold, Scott is the one who apparently came through with that immediately. So great. See, that plays. Sorry, guys. Okay, so far our theme link answer is Jerry Remy. Question two. This 7-time All-Star and perennial Hall of Fame snub spent 16 seasons dominating late in games and is one of 8 players to record at least 400 saves despite his diminutive stature.
We're going to check in.
Okay, the Young and the Restless have checked in. The no-name crew, you can talk it out.
I'm trying to go through the ones I think are in the 400 club. We have four that's not. It's not Rivera, Hoffman, Smith, or Franco.
Right.
I think.
Definitely not.
I think Kimbrel is in there, and he's still playing.
Yeah. So, yeah, not him.
And Kenley Jansen, I think, is also in there, but he's still playing.
Yeah. Billy Wagner's there. He's got the 400, right?
Yeah. So who's the eighth person?
He's not a Hall of Famer, Billy Wagner. I do know that he constantly misses. So that makes sense to be a perennial Hall of Fame snub. Is the other guy, like the K-Rod, hit the 400?
I think he did. That would seem – I wasn't thinking about him. But so then the question is, between K-Rod and Wagner, who do we think has – because, I mean, the
16 seasons for K-Rod.
That seems about right, though. That seems kind of close, though.
He came up right around their World Series run, right? So he came up in, like, 01, 02.
And he played – to the mid-2010s.
Yeah, and maybe, whereas like, Wagner was probably, what, like
mid-90s?
Mid to late 90s probably came up.
And then ended around 2010-ish?
I think it works for both of them.
So then the question is...
I don't know that I've heard anything about either one of them necessarily being regarded as having, like, a diminutive stature, but that neither one of them were, like, imposing.
I think of the two, because I kind of keep up with the MLB Hall of Fame voting. I feel like Wagner's been more of a snub.
He has. I know that, because he's in that, like,
so
he comes up with Sheffield all the time and, like, some of those other guys that have just been on the ballot for forever and aren't getting in.
Do you want to go Wagner? I feel like it's close for both of them. And 7-time All-Star could easily be either one of them. I don't think that's distinguishing either.
I think I like Wagner a little bit better. As an answer here.
All right, I'm good with it.
All right, we're going to check in with Billy Wagner.
Okay, and The Young and the Restless, what did you guys have?
He's been perennially in the Close But No Cigar Hall of Fame voting, so we checked in with Billy Wagner.
Both teams are receiving points. The correct answer is Billy Wagner. Yes, last year, Billy Wagner. And for the record, K-Rod is a six-time All-Star. But yes, you're right. They're very close. And Billy Wagner, 5'10", 180 is what he was listed at. So
yeah,
I'd consider that pretty.
No, I agree. I guess you know, it's not something you pay a lot of attention to. But yeah, I do remember him being.
Yeah.
But man, he threw hard.
Yes, he did. 73.8% of the vote. He was 5 votes shy. And he's got one more year next year. And I assume he'll get in. But, you know, like one of my favorite players, Edgar Martinez, for Billy Wagner to have to wait until his 10th year of eligibility is stupid.
Yeah.
Okay. So far, our theme linked answers are Jerry Remy and Billy Wagner. Question 3. What one-time Super Bowl champion, two-time Pro Bowler, and two-time All-Pro recorded 38 interceptions and scored 5 defensive touchdowns during a stellar 16-year career? He holds the NFL playoff record for consecutive games with an interception with 5.
We'll check in.
The Young and the Restless has checked in. No Name Crew, you've got a few-ish like seconds to talk it out.
Secondary name.
Yeah, will you do that again?
We might have to.
It's kind of weird. It's just trying to think about this. So played 16 years at 30 interceptions. So that's about 2.5 years. So not great numbers, but you know.
Right.
There's the math teacher.
But only a 2-time Pro Bowler. So right. Maybe just a couple of good seasons, like a couple solid seasons, and then otherwise.
That's what I'm thinking. But then just happened to come up in the playoffs, like come up.
Right. Really good. Yeah. Really good playoff
so
defender.
Going to be a guy that, you know, played in a lot of playoff games. So that leads me to think he's on a good team.
Right.
Teams are Patriots, Colts, Ravens, Green Bay, teams.
Yeah. The thing is, we don't even have an era. We're just kind of.
Right. Exactly.
This could be like.
We do. It's Super Bowl era.
Right. I mean, but this could be like someone on the 70s Dolphins or something, you know?
I know.
Or the 80s Bears, you know, like it could just be someone on one of those really dominant teams that, you know, I don't know.
Last name.
Gosh. Trying to think. I don't even have any good. Brown. I can think of a couple of good defenders of that. I mean, maybe cover something. I don't know. I don't have anything better.
Let's do it.
Okay. We're going to check on the last name of Brown.
Okay. And the Young and the Restless, what did you guys have?
We had a similar conversation trying to pinpoint the era and following the same logic of somebody that, you know, wasn't great, but, you know, was probably also not picking off a ton of passes a year unless he had 1 and, you know, 10 of those years and then made up the other 28 in the last 6. So we went with Leroy Butler.
Neither team is receiving points. You actually, Scott, just kind of nailed this person's career. He was on a good team in the in his first team. He was drafted by San Francisco and then went on to a new expansion team and then posted 5 straight seasons with 5 interceptions. So really bunched them all up. But he was an All-Pro and a Pro Bowler in 95 with the 49ers and in 96 with Carolina.
Oh.
The correct answer is Eric Davis.
Oh, generic last name. Could have had it.
I thought it. I was like, they might get this with a generic last name. So neither team getting points. Yeah, that was a tough one without including teams. And like I said, it's such a weird career. But like, I liked Eric Davis, you know, growing up, and I was like, oh, that's interesting. And then I got into his. He was dismissed from NFL Network and stuff like that. So we were not going to get into that, but. Our theme linked answers so far are Jerry Remy, Billy Wagner, and Eric Davis. Okay, moving on to question 4. What MLB player is a 3-time All-Star with 3 different teams? In 2015, he was 3rd in the AL Cy Young voting, and this season
signed a 3-year, $75 million contract with his fifth major league team.
We're checked in.
Okay. No Name Crew has checked in. The Young and the Restless, you can talk it out.
I think we're about there, don't you?
Yeah, I think so.
Most of the other pitchers either sign really, really big long-term deals or really short one-year deals.
Yeah, and even the guys that signed the longer-term deals were not around in 2015.
Right. So this one seems to fit. Sonny Gray seems to fit all the things, and I do remember he signed a medium-term contract with the Cardinals this year. But I don't actually think he's pitched yet. So, yeah, I'm good with that if you are.
Yep.
All right. Sonny Gray, check it in.
All right. And No Name Crew, what did you guys have?
Yeah, we, did the math on the teams, and he just signed a contract with his fifth team, so we felt like a fit. We checked in with Sonny Gray.
Both teams are receiving points. The correct answer is Sonny Gray. I've always enjoyed Sonny Gray. Definitely enjoyed him more once he left Oakland. Yeah, Oakland, then the Yankees, then the Reds. Last year he pitched for the Twins. This year he's pitching for the Cardinals. But yeah, I think you're right. I don't think he's pitched yet. I'm assuming he's hurt or something. Great job, both teams. And our theme link answers are Jerry Remy, Billy Wagner, Eric Davis, and Sonny Gray. Let's move on to question number 5. What 7-time Pro Bowler and 6-time All-Pro was a member of the 2010s All-Decade team and is mostly associated with a great dynasty despite never winning a Super Bowl? Can I throw both teams a word that maybe might help them narrow this down?
Love words.
I would describe this person maybe as an anchor.
I wonder if that's a positive or negative connotation.
Well, it positive. Can't be. Oh, never mind then.
I was thinking negative, like weighing a team down, but okay.
No,
yeah.
No.
Okay.
I was just about to type Leon Lett. 2010s all day.
I get. Oh God, did I just jump like the coaching vernacular shark? Did I just like? Because I'm in my head. I'm just like, oh yeah, no, anchor.
Okay, anchor.
All right, we're gonna check in.
The Young and the Restless have checked in. No Name Crew. I'm gonna need an answer very quickly. Shortly. Nowish.
I feel like we named every player that was on the All-Decade team that we can think would conceivably be on the All-Decade team, besides kicker and punter and kick returner.
Well, yeah. So this is someone that's played on a dynasty. So I was thinking Patriots. So someone played on the Patriots. I mean, I might be off on this, but someone who played on the Patriots but never won a Super Bowl. So they missed the time frame.
Yeah, or it's played on a dynasty in just a sense of a team that's been really good but just couldn't get there, right? I think of like the Niners.
But you wouldn't call them a dynasty. Usually you associate with
championship,
long-term success. Yeah, that kind of success. Right. So yeah. Are there any Patriots players that would fit this?
We don't even know for sure what the team is. Spoiler alert. So it's saying would fit this is tough.
Okay. So if we're thinking this is like an O-lineman.
Anchor to me, yeah.
And Patriots, that would lead me to Logan Mankins.
Logan Mankins, but he won. He was there when they won.
When was he there? How long
was
he there?
Most of his career. In the span he was there, they certainly won at least one Super Bowl. Just based on the numbers alone, right? Because he was there for...
Well, but didn't they have a long gap? Because they won a 103-04 gap. And then when did they win again after that? Like 20...
Okay, yeah. It's Logan Mankins. I got the theme now.
Okay.
Yeah. I can't believe you never won a Super Bowl. That's crazy. But yeah, that's it. Check it in.
Okay. All right.
Okay. And the Young and the Restless, what did you guys have?
I got a similar epiphany to Mr. Grimes and also checked in with Logan Mankins.
Both teams are receiving points. The correct answer is Logan Mankins. Mason, you got there finally with the logic of, Yeah, it's crazy. So his tenure was 2005 to 2013, and they went 2001, 2003, 2004, and then 14, 16, 18. He went to the Super Bowl in 07 and 2011, but they lost both of those.
Yeah.
So this guy is like an all-time Patriot. He's one of the greats, and this man never won a Super Bowl. Like, that's got to be such a bummer to be a part of that club of Patriots. You were like a part of this great dynasty, but were you really? Because I couldn't believe it when I read it. I was like, oh my gosh, that's insane. So our theme link answers are Jerry Remy, Billy Wagner, Eric Davis, Sonny Gray, and Logan Mankins. I'll go with the team that submitted their theme after the fourth, during the fourth question, before, right around there. No Name Crew, what was your theme?
I just want to say that I had this after one. I said to Mason after Jerry Remy, I said, there's only three. Well, at first it was like, there's only two things that are Remy. It's either Ratatouille or it's Remy Ma. And I was like, I don't think he's going to do like female rappers from the 2000s because that would be unfair to Mason. And then as I was thinking more, I was like, wait, Remy is also a name from the X-Men. And then the rest of them just matched up, especially when we got to Sonny Gray. It was like that was kind of confirmed it. I was sitting around waiting for like Hank and Charles or Xavier to come up or Scott Summers, but we checked in with X-Men characters.
And after and Eric's epiphany happened, as they checked in, he sent me that. So No Name Crew is getting the full 100. Young and the Restless is still getting 50. Your first guess of Disney characters, like you said, Remy, yeah. You thought Ratatouille. I get it where you were going with that. Remy LeBeau is Gambit. Kurt Wagner, but Wagner, is Nightcrawler. Eric Lensher is Magneto. Jean Grey, Sunny Grey, that she doesn't get a cool name. She's just Jean Grey. And Logan is obviously Wolverine. So yeah, I've actually done this before, but I picked different characters.
Different ones, yeah. That's when we were on Charles Woodson so long for the playoff interception.
Ah, yes.
And then we were like, but then we were like 38. And Mason was like 38 interceptions is way too low for Charles.
Yeah, yeah. So great job. So after the third quarter, we have a score. The score has changed a little bit. Still a close game. We have No Name Crew with 335 and the Young and the Restless with 305. And that will bring us to the fourth quarter.
The fourth quarter, known as Put Your Fours Up. This quarter consists of four categorized questions that teams will wager up to 100 points each, not to exceed their current point total.
Stay with me here, guys. The categories for the fourth quarter are family, 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 and speed. So
right. We're checked in with the theme.
Okay. The first family, number one, is basketball. Number two in family is the NFL. Number three in family is more basketball. And four, speed, is the NFL. Now it is time for the teams to place their wagers.
We'd like to take a minute to invite you to follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at BenchwarmersTP. We also have a Facebook group for fans of the pod called The Bench. Join us there to comment on the latest episodes and share cool sports facts and trivia. If you'd be willing to rate and review us on iTunes or Stitcher, we'd greatly appreciate the support so that other people may find this podcast. Thanks.
Now that the wagers are in, on to the questions. Question one in the fourth quarter in family. Two women with NBA bloodlines were selected as McDonald's All-Americans in 2024. Both are post players like their famous fathers. And I want you to name both men. One was a 15-time All-Star with a myriad of nicknames, and the other was a two-time All-Star whose number was the first ever retired by his most prominent franchise.
We're going to check in.
The Young and the Restless has checked in. No Name Crew, you can talk it out briefly.
We got next to nothing.
I mean, this has to probably be a newer team.
Well, that's what I'm thinking. First ever number retired, like I said.
Right.
Raptors, Wolves, Magic, Grizzlies.
And in order for them to have a daughter in high school, to put the age, kind of an idea of the age, for probably someone who played 2000s, right? You just maybe 90s, 2000s. Kind of time.
Yeah, I mean, that's where we're at. Like, Raptors, I assume, is probably Vince Carter.
Did you call him a post player?
Would I call him a post? Oh, I forgot about the post player thing. No, I would not call him a post player.
Okay, so now let's get rid of that then. Is that, it said both are post players.
Okay, so how about, okay, so Raptors, I don't know that they would have had a post player.
Garnett? Does Garnett have a daughter that?
Well, Garnett's more than a two-time All-Star, though.
Yeah, okay, so yeah, so. And then we threw out Grizzlies with Gasol and Randolph. So Randolph, maybe, because Gasol will be more than two, but.
Maybe Zach Randolph. Yeah, maybe.
And most prominent, because he's played elsewhere for a while. So
yeah,
he's most well known for the Grizzlies.
I think the only people who fit are like Randolph, possibly Alonzo Mourning.
Yeah, I don't know who Hornets have retired. I don't feel like they have that many.
Grandmama, Larry Johnson. He was a post player. He's about a two-time All-Star. Who would have his number retired? Maybe by the Hornets. I don't like any of these, I'm going to be honest.
No.
Like, all right. At all.
Need an answer.
How do you feel about the Kembe Mutombo?
No.
So we think that the first one is Shaq.
Yeah, I feel like I remember seeing something about his daughter. Yeah,
same.
I don't know. Whatever you want to do for the second one.
How do you feel about Big Country Bryant Reeves for the Grizzlies? They would retire his number. He was a post player. He would have been probably the first guy to get his number retired.
Two-time All-Star?
I don't know if he made two. So you want to go – I guess if you like Z-Bo the most, we can go.
I do. Just the, like, two is about right, and most prominent leads me to believe that
– I just have trouble thinking – that he's the first guy that they retired number, not Gasol, not Mike Bibby, not Marc Gasol, not Sharif
Abdul. Yeah.
So
I'm good with, I don't know.
Let's do it.
Yeah. If you're good with it, I don't really have anything. I'm just throwing him out there. But,
all right. So, check it in and let Marcus know our wager.
Okay. So we're going to go with Shaquille O'Neal and Zach Randolph for 69 points.
Nice. All right. And over to Young and the Restless while I maintain maturity.
First time for everything.
We had Shaq pretty quick, and then we had a similar conversation about trash franchises who had limited retired numbers, and the one that fit the time frame and the good, not great, might not have made a lot of All-Star teams was Zach Randolph. So we checked in for that. With that, for 76 points.
Both teams are receiving points. The correct answer is Shaquille O'Neal and Zach Randolph. I was shocked also to find out that that's the first number they retired, but his number 50 is the first one that the Grizzlies felt like they needed to retire, apparently. Shaq's daughter Miara O'Neal is committed to Florida, and Zach's daughter McKinley Randolph is undecided. My cousin who is he works for The Athletic. He posted a video today of playing pig with Cooper Flagg, who's the number one recruit in the country, and McKinley Randolph. He played pig against them for some content for The Athletic. So, that kind of inspired that question. So, anyways, great job, teams. Mason, hearing you say 69 points in such a sultry voice, was, that made my night.
I'm glad, Marcus.
All right. Let's move on to question two in the fourth quarter of family. Seven pairs of father-son duos have won Super Bowls. Only one of these pairs do not share a last name. I want you to name the son. His team won Super Bowl 37, although he appeared in only 8 games. The following year, he started on defense next to a Hall of Famer and finished his career with just over 300 career tackles. His parents wanted him to go by his mother's maiden name, so he didn't have the pressure of living up to a 10-time Pro Bowler, 8-time All-Pro, and member of the NFL's 100 Greatest Players.
All right, we're going to check in.
All right. The Young and the Restless have checked in. No Name Crew, you can sort of talk it out, kind of, quickly.
All right, so let's break this down. This is Bucks Raiders.
Right.
The Gruden Bowl. Bucks won, so we're looking at the Bucks. To play next to a Hall of Famer, you're looking at Sapp, Derek Brooks, John Lynch, Rondé Barber.
So we can eliminate those.
So to play next to them. So if we're looking on that D-line, Simeon Rice, Warren Sapp, Chris Hogan, the linebackers are Brooks, Shelton Quarles, the secondary is Dwight Smith, Dexter Jackson, Lynch, Barber. The linebackers are Shelton Quarles. They had Ryan Neesh. I was never really sure how to say that name. I think it's everyone I can name from that defense.
Okay, so we get rid of the famous names. I'm assuming it's how we're gonna have to do this. Because we would know if their fathers played in the NFL.
They also wouldn't work because they all probably had more than 300 tackles.
Okay, so Chris Hovan, is that this?
He was like a big nose tackle, like a big DT. He ended up playing for the Vikings.
So 300 tackles doesn't seem right. Okay, Shelton Quarles.
I said quickly.
I did. I was just okay, about to. All right.
But this all is right, fun.
Well. Just about to. I know it is, but we gotta.
But okay. It's also, yeah.
So I would all say right. It's either Shelton Quarles or Ryan Neesh/Nietzsche. I don't really know how to say it.
Okay, so which one do you think?
Ryan Neesh is the lesser known player of the two, and let the one that's more likely to not have 300 tackles.
Okay,
I know. I don't know. A rotational player, and then became a starter like later on.
Well, then that would that make sense if you only played 8 games?
Sure.
If that's the kind of guy he was, if you only played 8 games, if it's that part, I mean, I'm good with whatever. I'm just saying that it kind of fits with that part.
I'd say we just do it because I know he was at least on the team.
Okay. All right. That's go ahead and check it in.
Checking in with Ryan Neesh for 69 points.
Okay. And the Young and the Restless, what did you guys have?
Yeah, we could just really only name a couple of those guys, and so we just went with Simeon Rice for 76.
One team is receiving points. I didn't think it would come down to breaking down the Buccaneers depth chart from 2003, but the correct answer is Ryan Neesh, who is the son of Ronnie Lott.
Really?
Oh. Whoa.
Ryan Neesh is the son of Ronnie Lott. He went to UCLA instead of USC like his old man. And yeah, their sole purpose for giving him his mother's maiden name was that he wasn't going to be Ryan Lott and have to live up to Ronnie Lott, which is so weird. But yeah, so points to No Name Crew. My God, I thought
I was impressed to get the whole defense.
Yeah, I thought for sure that was going to be like a wash. Nobody was going to get that because, yeah, I don't really expect. I did not expect that. Oh my gosh. Let's move on to question 3 in the fourth quarter in family. Yeah. There have been 9 father son duos to be selected to the McDonald's All American basketball team. There is only 1 3 generation trio among them. And I want you to name the family. So I just need, again, just to reiterate, I need the last name of the family. I don't need you to name all 3. That would be disgusting and rude. The youngest is currently in school and entered the season as the number 1 recruit in the country. The father was a first-round pick in the NBA draft and once scored 100 points in a high school game during his senior season. The grandfather was a second-round pick in the 1986 NBA draft and is only one of a few players to win a championship in high school, in college, and in the NBA.
I think I got it, Nathan.
We can check it.
Oh, my gosh. Wow. Double check-in. Woo! All right.
They checked in.
I acknowledge my tribal chief, and then I will acknowledge the check-in by by the Young and the Restless. So, No Name Crew, you can tell us your answer because you also checked in.
I mean, I didn't really get a chance to confirm, but I'm pretty sure this is the Wagner family. DJ Wagner was the number one recruit coming into the season. DeJuan famously scored 100, so we're checked in with Wagner.
And the Young and the Restless, also with a very quick check-in.
The family Wagner.
The family's Wagner, yes, is correct. Both teams receiving points. Yes, Milt Wagner was drafted in 1986. Played, you know, didn't only played a couple years in the league, but like bounced around Europe, and then obviously DeJuan Wagner, right in the wheelhouse of paying attention to the NBA draft, and he didn't really turn out to be much. But I do remember Slam Magazine documenting his 100 point game.
And he was on the cover.
Yes, he was. Yep. And DJ Wagner, number one recruit, had a okay year at Kentucky, and that's a whole nother mess of problems. But yes, both teams are receiving points. I don't know if we said. Sorry.
Our wager was 69.
And the Young and the Restless, what was your wager?
76.
Trombones. I also just want to point out quickly, we've now had Bobby Wagner discussed, Billy Wagner as an answer, and now Milt, DeJuan, and DJ Wagner as answers.
Oops, all Wagners.
Oops, all Wagners. Or I kind of liked the... like I was thinking for the graphic, like Maury Povich with Ronnie Lott and Brian Deese and him going, "You are the father."
I can do that. Let me write that down.
That's why I laughed when you guys were deliberating during that question. I just started laughing because I'm like, this would be hilarious. Okay.
Oh, that's good.
Going into the final question, we have a score of No Name Crew with 542, The Young and the Restless with 381. Let's finish this off. Question four in speed. I want you to name the pair of teammates that just stole the show at the NFL Scouting Combine. They played for a CFP playoff team, and one clocked a measly 4.34 in the 40-yard dash. The other set the Combine record with a 4.21 and broke the previous record held by Washington Husky legend John Ross.
Or Chetton.
Oh, boy. All right.
I figured you would. I was going to type it, but that's fine. I trust you.
No Name Crew has checked in, and for the last time tonight, the Young and the Restless, you can talk it out.
I know one of them. I just got a... So Xavier Worthy is one of them. He's the 4.21 guy.
Right.
I live in Texas. I hate UT so much.
The other wide receiver.
Yeah.
It's a weird name.
Any of the letters? Can we wordle this?
Okay. Oh, my God. Start. Green and yellow. I'll tell you what.
Can we wordle this?
Steam.
You're assuming it's five letters.
Right. Well, if it's not, just tell me how many.
It's at least one. It's at least one letter.
It's a bunch of Z's at the end.
Steam's X.
Yeah, Steam's X. Oh,
exactly. That's a rapper, isn't it?
Imagine your last name is Steams. You run a 4.34. There you go.
And you're slow.
Like Adonis.
Yeah, yeah.
The slower team.
Imagine your last name is Steams. You're an offensive lineman.
I think Eric was trying to.
It was Adonis something. Adonis something. Is that right? Adonis.
It's a great name, though. I don't.
It is.
I almost want to check in with it just because it's such
just
a great
Adonis.
Name. It's a Michael Bajordan name.
Michael Bajordan.
Adonis Bajordan.
Adonis Bajordan.
Oh.
I got nothing, Eric.
Okay. I'm fine with it. I'm tired Xavier, and my brain is...
Xavier Worthy and Adonis Bajordan.
Bajordan, yes. Let's do it. For 77 points.
Oh, my God. Okay. No Name Crew, what did you guys have?
Oh, that's great. Yeah, we're obviously going to be talking draft stuff on the Naked Bootleg, either right after this comes out, or if you're listening to this, it may already be out. Spoiler alert, Mason's going to join us this year for our mock draft. But these are guys that will come up during that conversation, because I know I'll bring them up because I'm very high on both of them. It's Xavier Worthy and Adonai Mitchell for 69 points.
One team is receiving points. The correct answer is Xavier Worthy and Adonai, or I would have accepted what he went by all season, which is A.D. Mitchell, is correct. Nothing can prepare you for your team blowing a 20-point lead, and A.D. Mitchell is lined up across from your worst player with the game on the line. And then you get bailed out by a quarterback who isn't very good, who just threw the ball out of bounds and made that guy look very good. And I was very relieved because when they lined up, I went, oh, my God, Elijah Jackson's on A.D. Mitchell. We are going to lose. This is insane. And, yeah, luckily, Quinn Ewers, not good. Threw the ball out of bounds.
Starting that Manning kid.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, for real. Also, if our running back doesn't get nearly crippled and we have to call a timeout or we have to waste a timeout and give them time. Oh, my gosh. Running into the returner, nice little 15-yard penalty. It was almost an all-time melt. All right. With that, the game has come to an end, and here are the final scores. The Young and the Restless finishes with 304. And our clipboard captains with a score of 611 points, receiving the coveted Arch Manning Award, is No Name Crew, because he's a clipboard captain for some reason.
It's not going to be in a video game, so.
Yeah, he's got to focus on football. Can't sign away my image and likeness because I got to focus on playing behind Quinn Ewers again. Thank you guys. Like I said throughout this is like I can't go this long in between hosting games because slipped up a few times. Realized that I need to just, well, and luckily I got another one coming up soon so I can get back on the horse. But we talked about it, Scott, you and I and Matt yesterday. It's tough to beat Taco. It's tough to beat some of these guys to the hosting board. So I got to be better about getting to that calendar early and getting hosting spots because they disappear very rapidly. So
it's Lux, Taco Josh, Lux, Taco Josh, Lux, Taco Josh. Every time you go on the season.
Yes. So thank you guys. Thank you, Scott. It's always fun having you on, man. I talked about this on the Patreon that will go out, but I want to say thank you to everybody who reached out. My dad had a brain tumor removed today or yesterday, and he was released to go home today. It's amazing with medical technology. It's benign, so not cancerous, but it was still kind of nerve-wracking. So thank you to everybody who reached out. I appreciate it. And I am once again very thankful for all of this. All of you guys listening, you guys on this screen, thank you guys so much. With that, this has been the Benchwarmers Trivia Podcast. And until next time,
We'll keep the bench warm.
Yeah, one line.
And don't forget that. And don't forget about Fam.
And happy 250th.
That ball hit high and deep. Stretch! Stretch! Get on back there. They look up. You can put it on the board. Yes. Yes.
Into deep left center for Mitchell. And we'll see you tomorrow night.
That great music you're listening to is by Justin Nozick. Thanks to him for producing that music for us. You've been listening to the Benchwarmers Trivia Podcast. Make sure to check us out on all of our social media. We are at Benchwarmers TP.